from our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our desire here at Refuge and Strength that you would enter into the Lord's rest and be empowered with His might. To help strengthen you in the inner man, our pastor, Elder Dwayne Cook, has delivered an anointed word. Please receive it and be blessed.
Come on, let's worship Him. We are ready, Jesus. Whatever you want to do, God, we're ready, God, because we know, Lord, that you will not leave us the same way that you met us, oh God, Lord, but change us, oh God, Lord, renew us, oh God, Lord, strengthen us by your Spirit, God, Lord. We are just making ourselves available to you in every way, oh God. We're not hiding anything from you, God. Take us, God. Mold us. Strengthen the man and the woman of God. Strengthen the people of God. Strengthen us as a body, God, that we may do exploits in your name, that we may not just be religious, that we may not just be churchgoers, oh God, but Lord, that we will be children of the Most High God, and that the world would not be able to deny that you are moving in the midst of your people. Lord, that you would be glorified by everything that we do. It is for your glory. It is for your glory, God. For your glory, God. Not for a name. For your glory. Not for fame, not for fortune, but for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Into the word of the Lord. The third chapter of Genesis. This is a fellowship, koinonia service. But it is also, I realize the timing of God. That it is also a time when your pastors are moving into a realm that is new. Hello. It is a new realm. And so you need a word that is especially designed for you to help them in walking by faith, because if they got to walk by faith, you got to walk by faith. And so God has a word to prepare you as a corporate local body. The 22nd chapter, 22nd verse of the third chapter, through the end of the chapter, just a few verses that God is going to speak to us out of, the 22nd verse of the third chapter of Genesis. And let us read it together. And it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." I must tell you that I many times come in an obscure way, but God has a direct word for you. I just want you to just think about your cherubim. Your cherubim. Say, "My cherubim." You may be seated. My cherubim. It is another word for angel. The world and the common picture that we have of cherubim, you know, when you go in, Hallmark has a whole lot of pretty cards, and sometimes you'll see these little baby angels with these little baby wings, and they'll say that these are cherubim. You know, you may look at it and say, you're guardian angels. And so we have all of these ideas of spiritual things, but your concept may not necessarily be valid. And so we need to understand that our cherubim or these ministering spirits that God has given to us are not little baby things that just flying around and look real cute. You know, because God has said that they are ministering spirits, that they are there to minister to and for and on behalf of the heirs of salvation. And I don't know about you, but I've been through trials and tribulations in my life. I don't need no baby coming along trying to help me out with stuff that I as a grown man can't handle. God never does anything on a small scale. Even the small things that God does are great and really overpowering to us. And so we need to understand that everything that God does, I don't care if you're in a small building or if you're in a great cathedral, God always does great things through anything that he does. So you must understand that this ministry is called to do great things for the kingdom. And not just this ministry, but if you are a part of this ministry, God has designed for you to do great things. Everybody say great things. I am to do great things for the kingdom. And that when one person who is supposed to do great things hooks up with somebody else who is supposed to do great things, God will do wonders. Great things is individual, but God wants to take that collectively and bring it together and do wonders. In the scripture, I got to lead you up to it to see what is God really talking about here. And now we if you don't know nothing else about the scripture, you know about Genesis. You know about God creating everything, and he said, "Let there be," and then that there was, and then 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, and then after that, it was only a short time. We don't know how long it was, but it was a short time before man messed up. We are prone to mess up. We can be in a good place and still mess up. That's why we need the blood of Jesus, because we can be put in the right place and still mess up a good thing. You can be in the right church and mess up a good thing. You can be in a powerful ministry and still have mess come into a powerful ministry. But just because it's messed up or you've found yourself in a messed up situation, it's not over. Everybody look around and just say, it's not over. I don't care what you're facing in your life. You may think that your life is headed towards a place that you can't recover from, but your life is not over. So we find that man disobeyed just one simple thing that God has said, and they found themselves in a predicament where God had to kick them out. They were kicked out of a blessed place. Now, if God is a God who is a loving God, we sometimes have this theology in our mind that if God is a loving God, he shouldn't ever make us feel uncomfortable. Hello? That's why the world comes against the church who is really standing on the word and says, you're not loving. If you tell me I'm wrong, you're not really loving. But God is really trying to say, I correct you because I love you. And so what he did was, he said, now I'm telling you, now it's not going to be as easy as it was. Adam, you were able to just put some seed down and everything just grew up. But now you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. And it says to the woman, I'm going to cause your labor pains to be increased. And he said all of this, and then he even prophesied to the snake and said, this is your judgment. After that, he said, now, because man knows the difference between good and evil, I've got to put him out of this place, lest he eats of the tree of life and lives forever in that crazy state. It's a crazy state. When stuff don't make sense, that's crazy. When God says do this and you say, no, I want to do that, it's crazy not to follow God. So he says, I've got to kick you out for your own good. Don't think that every time God has to take stuff away from you and strip stuff away from you, don't start getting throwing yourself a pity party as if God don't like you. You need to realize that some things he has got to take from you. He has got to keep you from, because he's trying to preserve your life lest you stay in a crazy state. He says, I got to kick them out lest they eat it and live forever in that state. I can't redeem them if they do. But now he says, I'm going to put you out of the garden. But lest you come back in, because you remember how good the place was, I'm going to set cherubim in the way. In the entrance. I'm going to block off the entrance. But God, I thought you want me to be blessed. Now you're saying you're trying to keep me out of what I thought you wanted me to be in. You put me there, so why can't I? Okay, I've been out for a little while. I know that I did wrong. Now let me back in. No, God is not fooled by what we say is, Lord, I repent. And sometimes we can be fooled by what people say. Hello? Sometimes people feel bad because they got caught, not because they really changed their mind about what they're doing. So I was telling my wife about this, and I said, many times we misunderstand really forgiveness and trust. We think forgiveness and trust is the same thing. Hello? It's two different things. Somebody can hurt you, and you can forgive them, but you don't necessarily trust them. Hello? And when somebody breaks trust, it sometimes takes more. Four hundred times more effort to gain that trust back. And so you can have forgiven them, but still not trust them. Because now you don't really know. Are they just upset because they think I'm going to leave them? Are they just upset because they don't really want to lose their family? Or are you still going to go out there and run after the women and run after men? Hello? So I may forgive you, but I don't have to trust you right away. God says, I see your tears. I see that you're feeling bad because you've done wrong, but I'm not just going to give you back all the stuff that you gave, that I took away from you because I had to punish you. I'm not just going to give it back to you because I realize that those tears are just tears, not of repentance, but just of sorrow. So I'm still going to block off the way. But it don't mean I don't love you. I'm just trying to keep you, because if you just wipe your tears and go back in the blessed place, you'll think that it's all right. And you'll stay in the same state you're in, and it will become worse. So God says, out of love, I got to put cherubim and block the way of blessings. I want you to have blessings, but in the state that you're in, I got to block it off. And not only am I going to block it off, but I got these cherubim here, and I'm putting a sword there. And it's going to turn each and every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? I'm saying that God wants to bless you. You've heard that before, haven't you? God wants to bless you. Okay, well, God wants to bless me, but I don't see my blessing yet. I've heard that it's going in one ear and out the other, because I've heard that before, but I still don't have the blessing here. Well, we got to go back. 22 says, now, because man knows the difference between good and evil. When you break that down, God was not saying that this was a good thing. He was actually saying this was a bad thing. What he was saying was, now man has thrown away what my standard is for his own standard. I was at the beginning telling man what was appropriate and what was inappropriate. Now man wants to take it upon himself to judge based upon what he sees. Oh, well, this is good for me. I think this is good for me. And so the standard is no longer what God says, it's what I feel. Hello? It's what I feel. I think this is good. I know that the Bible says this, but you better watch out for that. I know what Pastor said, but I know that it didn't work for me last time, but I think this man is going to be good for me. I know he acts just like the last one, but he really loves me. I know she ain't the person that hurt me last time, but I think this one is the one. But God said no. But I think I know better. And what we're doing when we come into the house of God, even when we get saved, it's a lot of things that we still are eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're saved. We're halfway submitted to a certain degree. But there's still that fruit that we got in our basket that we eat on every now and then. Well, Pastor don't understand my situation. You know, Pastor Sylvester, he understands, but I don't think Pastor Renee, she don't really understand. So I'll listen to him, but I won't listen to her. I respect him, but I saw what she did last time. I just don't understand. So we're still eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so God said, because man knows, or he thinks he knows, lean not to your own understanding. The problem is here. Hello. Everybody touch your head. The problem ain't really your husband. Your problem ain't really your wife. The problem ain't really your finances. You holding on to your pocketbook, but the real problem is here. And God says this is the problem. He says, because you think you know. You think you know how to be blessed. You think you know how to bless yourself. You think you know which way to turn. God said left, and you say no, but it's brighter over on the right. Because man knows. He's become one of us. Become like as one of us. I know what's good and evil because God says, I know what's good and evil because I created everything. I know everything. I see all angles. Nothing's hidden from my, so I understand. I know what everything is. But man thinks he's like me. I think I know everything that's going on. I can make my own decision. But he says, now I've got to put you out. Now how is it that we're really going to be blessed? Here it comes. He sets the angel there. And why is it that a lot of times we come to church and our dilemma as pastors is this, trying to get people to really run after God. It's not hard to get people to run after religion. It's not hard to get people to run after spiritual things. As pastors, as leaders, our dilemma is not really getting people to really plug into religious stuff. Our dilemma is trying to get people to plug into God. If you can get people to believe in miracles, it's easier to get them hooked on miracles. But can you get them hooked on the miracle worker? When God does not perform a miracle, can you still be as committed to running after him when he does nothing and when he says nothing? I don't know about you, but I think God can be the most silent individual there is. At some points in our life, we can be praying, getting on our face before God, and God will sometimes, for a period of time, say nothing at all. But God, don't you see? I got a deadline coming. God, I really, don't you see the army is surrounding me? Don't you see that things are coming at me? Can you still run after him when he says nothing and seems like he don't care? The operative word is seems. because we're judging it based upon what we think we know. He said, I got to put you out, but I've got cherubim there. First, when I first really start looking at this and really start looking at the scripture, and I'm sure probably you have done it too if you really thought about it, but it would seem as if God is putting a cherubim there and he's putting a sword there, it would seem like God didn't want man to have access. Hello? You put a guard somewhere, and that signifies that you don't want somebody to go there. It is really trying to, really telling somebody that you are not worthy to come here. But God, I thought you said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life. And that's the tree of life. It seems like you would want man to come. The real key is this. He does want you to come. But here's our dilemma. But there's an angel standing there in the door. But you want me to come. Not only is there just an angel there, but there's an angel with a sword. I don't feel too comfortable approaching somebody. Hey, let's think about it in today's term. Are you going to really walk down the street and walk past somebody and say, hi, how you doing? And the person standing there with a .357 in their hand. Hello. You're not going to feel too comfortable approaching them. They standing there, you got to go. And even if they stand in front of your house, you ain't even going to your own house if somebody standing in front of your house in the doorway with a gun in their hand. No. What you think? But this is the key. God says, I want you to come near. Because what does the scripture say? He says, draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. But God, there's an angel in the door. You're telling me to come near, but there's an angel in the door. And the angel has an instrument of death. Everybody say instrument of death. The sword in the Old Testament was an instrument of death. This sword was not a sword that he was going to be cutting up potatoes to make some soup. This was not an instrument that he was going to be peeling some apples with. But a sword was meant to defend and to take life. The scripture there, the last scripture in the third chapter, says he put in the doorway, it really is like in the doorway, at the east of the Garden of Eden, which was a doorway, cherubim. Cherubim, cherub means one. Cherubim is plural. In the New Testament, the word from the Greek is angelos, which means angel, messenger. You have cherubim here. Not just one, two. Now we're going to fix this up now. Hello. You got angels in the door. Are you ready? They're standing in the door. The blessings that you really seek are behind them. God said he was going to bless you, right? He says he wants to bless you. And when you hear it, you know. But did you really hear what he was saying? Yes, you're going to be blessed. But in order for you to be blessed, the blessing is in the garden. The blessing is in the garden. God says he wants us to come near. But the blessing is in, everybody say that, the blessing is in the garden. We at least know there was food there. And I'm sure with any other garden, there was flowers there, and it was a pretty place. I don't know about you, but I want to be in a place that is a pretty and a beautiful place. I'm not just talking about a geographical place, but I'm talking about God wants us to be in a place where everything around us is blessed. Look at Deuteronomy 28. That's really describing the garden, the spiritual garden that he wants us to live in. He wants us to live in a state of being in a garden. All of our needs met. Being the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. He said, blessed will you be when you go out. Blessed will you be where you be when you come in. You're going to be blessed in every area. That's the garden. But how do I get there? I'm going to tell you. Let me back up before I go into here. I looked at something very interesting, going back to about the second chapter. God said that he put a garden eastward in Eden. I used to think that Eden was the garden. But he said he put a garden in a portion of Eden. That was where he was. You can be saved. You can be saved. Let's look at Eden as being saved. You can be saved and still not have everything that you need. You can be in Eden, but not in the garden. See, there's a lot of people that say, well, I can be saved, but I don't believe in organized religion. I believe in serving God. But I want to tell you something. Unless you are under a covering, you won't be in the garden. Because all you need to be saved is to believe God and to believe on him that he has paid the price by sending Jesus to die for your sins, and you believe on him. That's what it takes to be saved. But that's not guaranteeing that you experience everything you need in life. But you said you wanted to be blessed. Hello. Huh. Here's where the rough part comes. I'm in Eden, but I'm not content to be just in Eden. That's the first thing. Are you just content to be saved? Some folks are. But I just want to make it in. Well, I'm sorry. Just making it in makes a rough road just getting there. Hello? Some folks are just looking for when they get on the other side. But if you are just getting on the other side and God has a plan for you to live 50 years after, you can have 50 years of hell before you get to heaven. Because all you want to do is just be in Eden. But God said, I placed a place eastward in Eden. East is the first place where the sun rises. Why would you want to be in the western part where you're always at the tail end of everything? That's what's wrong with the church. Why is it so difficult to witness to folks? Because they see us always in the west. Always at the setting of something. Always at the end of stuff. But God said, I want you to be at the head. I want you to see whatever's coming. I don't want you to have to read Wall Street to know what's going on. I don't want you to have to hear it on the news. But he said, before I do anything, I'll tell my prophets first. The ones who are in Eden, seeing the sunrise. The S-O-N rise. If you want to see what's really coming around the corner, stop looking at the weather report about what they say tomorrow's going to be like. You start getting in the garden. God will reveal it to you, and you won't be caught off guard having to react to something. Reaction means you on the tail end. But if I'm going to be blessed, I've got to be in the garden. He says, I gave cherubim. But this cherubim is interesting, but it says, I put the cherubim there, but I put a flaming sword. A. It's only one sword. Many angels, but it's a sword. It's only one word. It's only one word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's flaming. Flaming in that sense speaks of it being alive. It's not outmoded. It knows the word, Jesus. He knows everything about your situation. Even if the world changes it, puts another face on it. Say, well, no, you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, I do know what you've been through, because the word tells me and the word fits every situation. So I know what you're going through. Even if I don't know the specifics, I can still swing that sword and it'll cut nevertheless. This is the problem that we have. And this is the dilemma. And I'll put it that way. This is the dilemma that you have, because you have angels in the way. You've got angels in the way, and these angels ain't moving. Hello. That's what God wants to bring in this time. He wants to bring angels that won't move and compromise just to be politically correct. Well, you know, I'll put the sword down for a minute. I kind of let you pass. Now, we need men and women of God who will be the angel standing at the door holding the sword. If you've got to come close, The thing is this. The sword and the angels are standing there to guard. And the only way you're going to come in is if the sword comes. As you come near, the sword acts automatically. It quickly jumps in the angel, closes the angel's hand. And the sword swings and cuts your head off. It's quiet. It's quiet. The sword comes and cuts your head off. Not runs you through. Mm-mm. Not cuts off your leg so you can't walk. No. The sword comes and cuts your head off. Let this mind be in you. That's what the angels are preaching. That's what the angels are teaching. That's what the leaders have to do. Got to take your head off and start putting on your head the mind of Christ. That's why you got to lose your head. Yeah, you can still function. You can still mess up somebody else's life if somebody just cuts your leg off because you're still thinking and having the knowledge of good and evil. The sword of the Spirit comes to tell you how you are to think. The word of God comes to tell you what God thinks so that you can say, now I thought that was right, but repentance means I changed my mind. Not just I changed my mind, because that really don't really adequately cover it. God, really, repentance is I lop my head off. And as we allow our head to be cut off, he then replaced, because nothing without a head can live. So God doesn't have just mindless folks as robots, and some people don't want to come into the house of God because they think that being a Christian means being a robot. No, it does not mean that. It means that we have a standard, yet you are still your own person, but now you're thinking like God. That's why it's good to have these confessions, because it starts getting over and over in your mind saying, I was thinking this way, but now I see God wants me to think another way. And that's what the purpose of the cherubim are, to stand in the way and say, yeah, you ought to be blessed, but you can't be blessed any old kind of way. You can't come to God any old kind of way. Yes, I love you. God loves you, but I got to cut you. I love you, but I got to cut you, baby, because this is a matter of you really getting the blessing that you are supposed to have. That's why you better be careful how you fall out when you get a great prophecy. Oh, great prophecy to make your knees buckle and all the rest of that. Once you get over all that, you better start saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, because I know if that blessing got to come true, God, you got to kill some stuff in me. And the process may be harder than you think. Hello. Lord, increase my faith. You know what that really means? That really means trouble. When you start praying, Lord, increase my faith, how you gonna have increased faith unless you have trouble that you can't solve? But having faith is a blessing. He says, I want you to be blessed. I want you to come near to me, because when you come near to me, then I can come near to you, but I can't come any old kind of way. That's what the cherubim are there for. Look. Stop thinking of just the Greek, the angel being a messenger, because you will have a hard time. And in every church, we have this, where people just look at the pastors as being the angels of the house. And what I mean by that is, some people think that the angels of the house are just what the name means, messenger. I don't have to follow their leadership because they're just messengers. See, my moonlighting job is being a postal worker. So sometimes I have to bring stuff that people don't want. Hello. I bring stuff, and then every now and then, the next day, I may go back, and there may be a package that somebody doesn't want. And what they have written on it is, refuse, send back to sender. Are you in the house of God sending stuff back? Because you only look at the angels that are standing in the door as just messengers. Those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Are we in the house of God, lifting up our hands in the sanctuary and giving God praise, so we think, but yet we are still observing lying vanity, stuff that ain't real? It looks real, but it's really a spiritual mirage. And then what the pastor says is this, but it don't agree with what you think, so you return it back to sender. Because you don't understand, you just think that the pastors are just cherubim, they're just messengers. But I don't like the message. I don't like the message. And if you are on the telephone with somebody and they talking and you don't like what they talking about, what do? Are you hanging up on your pastor? You're coming to service, but you're hanging up on him? Are you listening what Pastor Renee has to say, but you're not really listening? You listen up to a point and then you hang up and you say, yeah, girl, I know you're right. Yeah, I know you're right, Pastor. Say the right stuff. Yeah, I know you're right. And don't be fooled, because we know, spiritually understand, we know that when we're talking to certain people, we know that you're saying yes, and we know that as soon as you leave out the door, we start praying for you then. Lord, help them for the mistake that they're about to make. Lord, help that foolish spirit that is on them. I cast it out right now. Lord, help them. Because as we're talking, we understand. We hear the dial tone. You know, and God really wants to bless you. And God, so you really need to leave this person. And we continue talking because we got to be faithful. Hello. Whatever God says, we got to say it. Even though we know sometimes you have already hung up on us. While we standing there with the sword, we start looking at the sword and the sword starts flaming up. Your pastors are going through a new way. Now, in faith, the man of God has already made up his mind because he's heard the word of God. It's time to step out and be that cherub that has to stand there. It's for your blessing. But some folks, even if they don't say nothing, they're wondering, what did he need to come off the side for? What is all this? Now, what are you trying to take advantage of the people of God? And, I mean, he's doing pretty good at the job. What, now he's going to be asking us, begging us for more money. Begging for money. Somebody. I'm not saying they're not gonna help. I'm not coming to speak negative, no, but I'm telling you, it's somewhere. And it's because they don't really understand that their blessing is behind you. And so what I'm trying to tell the congregation is that unless you really understand that you've got to die at the hands of your pastors, you won't receive everything that you're supposed to receive. The easiest way to die is to understand what the job of the cherubim was, and I'm through. Because you can misunderstand the outward expressions of worship. You can think that worship is just, I've seen them. I come in, I'm new to this Christian thing, but I come in to the church and I see everybody, they play, and then they start raising up their hands and they start falling down. Okay, I think I got that. And people will be sincere, but go through the acts of worship and not really be worshiping. And missing out and wondering, why isn't this thing working? I hear the testimony, but why isn't this thing working? Well, the job of cherubim, when you look through the scripture, and if my mind and my spirit is correct, I see more when you see angels throughout the scriptures. They did not as much message telling as we think. But really, the cherubim were always there to direct worship. Yeah, you do see instances where they are giving messages, but most of the time when you see the angels, they were there actually to direct worship and using this to keep the way, to guard the way to God. But now, hold on now. There's a problem. God has all power. What does he need guarding for? God is all powerful. He said, he spoke, and stuff happened. So he could speak again, and stuff fall apart. So what does he need guarding for? But I see these angels mostly are guarding. They're standing there. You know, we've come now to the place where we understand armor bearers and all the rest of that. Well, what's the guarding for? The guarding wasn't for God himself. The guarding had a twofold purpose. It was to guard us and guard the holiness. Really, they're tied together. The angels were to guard the holiness of God. Their purpose was to make, look, let's look at Exodus, the 19th chapter. God says it this way. He says, I'm going to visit you, but I want you to set boundaries around the mountain, Mount Sinai. He says, let anybody break through that boundary, touch this holy, sacred mountain, and I've got to break through to them. The problem with many church folks is you dishonor your pastors, and the pastors are there trying to keep you from getting God upset and break through and kill you. It's not just about your blessing. It's about trying to preserve the holiness of God so that God don't have to kill you. Keeping the way. I know you want the blessing, but I can't let you come too close, because you are in your state that you're in right now. You are so defiled that God's holiness would consume you. So I've got to stand there. I've got to take the stuff that you try to stick me in the back with, talking about pastor don't understand, but I still got to stand there because I don't want you to die. That's why you are to honor the people of God, not because of their position per se as far as title, but because of what they really do for you. They got to lay down their life, not get sleep while you are sleeping, because they praying for you. Trying to keep your stuff alive, trying to keep your marriage alive, trying to keep your kids alive, trying to keep your money alive, trying to keep your car alive, because it's needful for you to live to serve God. That's why they're standing in the way. Not to keep you from God, not to keep you from your blessing, but they want to make sure that you don't reach a hold to your blessing and die with the blessing in your hand. You can reach the blessing and die with your hand still holding on to the blessing. Pastor told you not to marry him. You got your hand on what you thought was your blessing, but you died with your hand on your blessing. What you thought was the thing that you really wanted, but the man and the woman of God were standing in the way and took the sword, but you ducked. I can't go. Are you ducking from the blessings of God? It's coming like a sword, but you don't want to hear. You refuse it, and you get it, and you die. Because God says, I will preserve my holiness. When you look in the scripture, I'm going to give you a few instances. When you look in the scripture, when it comes to how he said, I want you to make the ark. I want you to make the ark. Have the mercy seat there. And I want you to put to the presence of God. He could die if he did not come like God said, come. It's not about you being perfect where you've gotten yourself to the point where you have never and will never ever again do anything wrong, but you've got to come correct. God says there's a certain way I want you to come, and if you don't come that way, you can come that way, and as soon as my presence sees that you come another way, you're like a thief and a robber. And a thief and a robber, he said, you're worthy to die. The key is this. You've got to die anyway. Did you get that? You've got to die anyway. Either you're going to try to run around the way and the guardians that he has put up, and you come in and you die because his holiness breaks forth on you, you're going to die. Or you're going to die by the sword that God has given. You got to die anyway. So if I'm going to die, I might as well die right. I might as well die right. I might as well die right and get the blessing and be able to live in the spirit with the blessing than die and just die. You are to honor the angels of the house because their job is to get you to the blessing. To take the sword and to put into your mind, take out of your mind the things that is of the world, the things that is of faith, the things that is of just your own spirit, and then just replace what you think with the mind of Christ. Fall asleep on the word because they don't want to die. I can act like worship because I like the music. I like the songs. I like all that. I can look like I'm real deep, but when it comes to the word, now is the decision. Am I going to come close to the sword or not? Scripture says this, and I'm through. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. That's the garden. And at his right hand, there's pleasure evermore. Are you in the house of God, acting like you're submitting, but trying to reach and get out of God's hand? You know, you reach for stuff that you don't really want to come too close to. Can I tell you something? There, and hear this in the spirit, there is little difference in a certain aspect. There's a little difference in the world, people of the world, and people of the church. Because everybody wants what's legal. Every desire that we go after, whether you're saved or unsaved, is a legal desire. What's illegal is how you get it. To have financial stability is a legal thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But how are you going about it? Hello? Sexual desire, that's a legal thing. God has given that. But how are you getting? Is it out of timing? Hello? Hello? It's a legal desire. It's not wrong. There are things that are not wrong. Everybody wants to be blessed, whether you saved or unsaved. But how are you going about getting it? And so if you go the wrong way, that's what makes the sin. That's what makes the sword come out. That's what makes the judgment come out. God says, in my presence. So he wants you to come into his presence. But you've got to die to get into his presence. He says, when you really come in my presence, not just the way that the music sounds, that don't bring you into his presence. Not just the way that the psalmist sings and how eloquently the lyrics are and how it comes across. That's not his presence. Those things may be just outpouring of his presence, but somebody can enter in right next to you and you still be outside. You can be in an atmosphere where the majority of folks have been slain in the spirit, have been right in the presence of God, where they really in their spirit see God face to face, and you still going through the motions. Because you're trying to reach for what's in his right hand illegally. It's a shame to come to a place where power is and you still leave out impotence. It is waste. The only thing, the worst waste that you can ever do is waste your time. If I waste money, I can get back more money. If I waste some juice, if I waste something that I really, if I break something, I can get that again. But the worst thing that you could ever lose is time. Are we wasting time around the presence of God? Hanging around the blessed place, but never enter in. We're in Eden, but not in the garden. If I could tell you this, God kicked Adam and Eve out. And when they left out the garden, they were still in the land of Eden. But everything in Eden wasn't a garden. God said, the ground now is going to bring up thistles. Thistles still grew in that part of Eden, not in the garden. If you're wondering why everything the pastor said, you can be blessed, but you're saying, yeah, but in the back of your mind, you're saying, I still don't receive what the word says and what the pastors are saying, because you may be in Eden, but you're not in the garden, because you refuse to lose your hand. You've got to guard. You've got to guard your angels, because they're guarding your stuff. Did you get that? Listen. You've got to protect. You've got to provide for your angels, because they are protecting your stuff. Even those who are not here. You better preach this message to those who ain't even here. Because you cannot allow them to go without. Because if they go without, your stuff goes down with them. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Are you really getting it? The way to your blessing, the fulfillment of everything that God has said for your life. If you are a part of this ministry, it's behind them. If they go down, who is there to swing the sword to help you get your stuff? When they step out, because even though it may be Pastor Sylvester who's coming off his job, but it's them. Hello. They're together. The cherubim. Plural. If you allow them to go down in any area, it hinders your stuff. You got to bless them, because it's God's will that they be blessed and you be blessed. You're tied together. You're tied together. Lift your hands. Dear God, Lord, we thank you. Lord, because the blessings that you have for us are not just individual things, God, but they are inside of your holiness. God, we don't need to always ask for stuff, God. If we get sight of your glory, and your glory is tied up with your holiness, oh God, if we just seek your glory, God, the things that you want to give to us are just instruments that we may give you more glory. They're not just things to tickle our fancy, God. But Lord, they are things, Lord, that will bring you more glory. God, help us to see your glory. Even as your cherubim cried one to another, holy, 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 holy. God, help us. That we may submit to our covering. That we may lose our head. That we may be able to cry glory to you. Holy to your name. Not just with our mouths, God. But once we lose our head, then we can act right. Then we can live right. Then we can carry ourselves right. Lord, if we lose our head, Lord, our body will be sanctified. That we'll glorify you, not just with our lips, but with our lives, God. That you have set the cherub to make sure that we don't just speak what's right, but that we do what's right. Because your word is said, Lord, that people would see our good works, not our church attendance, not our tithes statement, but God, not how much much we have raised our hand, not how long we have stood on our feet, not how much we have rolled in the floor, but God, that we would lose our head, that we would live right. Help us, Lord, as the angels, God, to not be moved by the pressures of those who we are leading, that we would always stand in the doorway, not compromising, not moving out of the way, not trying to get the popularity of the people, God. But Lord, that we as leaders, oh God, that we would stand there and guard your holiness, that we would guard your glory. God, I thank you for the angels of this house. God, because the growth that has occurred in the lives of those who are here, God, is because they refuse to move out the door. They refuse to stop telling unpopular messages. That they refuse to compromise holiness for people's feelings. That they were willing to have to take off some heads, God, that they may put your mind in them. Lord, we speak more growth. We speak more increase, numerically and spiritually, God. Lord, we call for even those who have been moved up in this place, oh God, Lord, that they will take on a whole nother fervency for you, God. They're on fire for you now, but Lord, burn them completely up, God. Some are working diligently now, but God, show them how to work even the more. That they will be like that drink offering, Lord. That they will be consumed and poured out. Even those who have not yet tasted of the fire. That just the heat from the others will start catching some of the fringes. And then that fringe will start to work on up, oh God. And that the spirit of excellence will start becoming contagious. The spirit of holiness will become contagious, even to those who are trying to fool everybody else. God, we thank you for a vibrant ministry. We thank you, Lord, for a ministry that is already an example in the body of Christ, Lord. We thank you, God, for those, Lord, that are here, Lord, that are already drawing people because of their lives, God. Lord, we come just to speak strength and even more life into the man and the woman of God. We speak more of it, God, because they're already committed to you, but God, but Lord, we just pray for the more. We pray for increase. Increase, God. Lord, we speak it right now, Lord, that once the man of God comes off his job, he will not face any type of lag. That there will not be a period where he's trying to work back up, God. But Lord, that it will be at the same level and increase even the more. We count it, we call it, we speak it right now in Jesus' name, that they will not face lack in anything that they do. But God, I even speak, God, that it would be even the abundance from the first day. That it would be the overflow. That it would be the abundance because they serve an abundant God. They serve you, God, that has no limits. We speak no limits for them as individuals and the ministry at large. No limits. No limits because you're not afraid to lose your hand. In Jesus' name, come on, let's worship him. Come on, let's worship him. He's a holy God. He sent holy angels to protect the holiness of himself. You are a blessed people. You are a blessed people. You are a blessed people. Destined for great things in God, in this city. Not just in this city, not just in this state, but God says you are blessed people in the world. God's going to cause this ministry to be an example. People around the globe are going to hear something about you. Are you receiving that? People around the globe are going to hear because the world is starving for a congregation that walks in true holiness. Not just the look of holiness, but true holiness. because God is a God of holiness. In Jesus' name.
We pray that you have been blessed by the word of the Lord. For other messages or to leave prayer requests, write us at Refuge and Strength, Full Gospel Assembly, 4727 South Wabash Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60615. Or call us at area code 773-538-5993. May God bless you and keep you.